people who live in the city often escape to the country, buy a really old house that's filled with character, but also mice, bad wiring, mildewed steam trunks in the attic. In Shalom Auslander's new novel, Solomon Kugel's new home in the country is filled with characters. His mother, who claims she survived the Holocaust when she was nowhere near it, and in the attic, an ancient woman who was. You know, she's Anne Frank.
In the sunlight, faint as it was, she was even more hideous than he'd gathered the night before. Her hair, wiry and unkempt, hung over her face. Her gnarled hands were capped with yellowed, talon-like fingernails. The floorboards behind the boxes, he noticed, were crisscrossed with long scratches and deep gouges, places where she had dragged herself, back and forth, by those very same fingernails. Her voice, when it came, was a low growl. "I'm out of matzah," she said. "Were you banging on the vents?" asked Kugel. "I'm out of matzah." "Don't bang on the vents." "I'm out of matzah. I can't work without matzah."
Yes, that Anne Frank, author of The Diary of a Young Girl, which, she keeps reminding Solomon Kugel, sold 32 million copies. She's been working on a follow-up ever since, but oy, the pressure. Is it too soon to laugh about Anne Frank? Is it ever time to write a dark comic romp about survivors of the Holocaust? Shalom Auslander's new novel is entitled Hope, a Tragedy. Janet Maslin in the New York Times calls it staggeringly nervy, sure to polarize, but funny. Here's a line Shalom has his hapless homeowner Kugel mutter about that unwanted guest in the attic. 6 million he kills, and this one gets away. Shalom Auslander joins us in the studio. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Anne Frank in the attic, you know, a mother who imagines that she was in the Holocaust, is nothing sacred.
No.
Yeah, I guess that would be
well, there's answer. That, you know, sacred cows make the best burgers stuff.
Oh, no.
Actually, the most sacred thing in the book and where it began was not with anything to do with Holocaust or genocide or Anne Frank. It was the notion that hope might be a character flaw. That leads to much worse things than hopelessness. And that was, for the most part, the most fun for me to sort of be screwing around with.
Well, and you do that with Professor Jove. His philosophy is that the greatest cause of anguish and hatred and sadness and death is hope. Here's one of his lines. Hitler was the greatest optimist. Have you ever heard anything so hopeful as the final solution?
What he's pointing out is not that he was optimistic about getting rid of Jews, but that he was optimistic about making the world a better place. And that seems to be the thing that leads to most of the problems. It's kind of what's behind, and this connects to my previous book, but it's kind of what's behind religion, which is the biggest hope of all, and also leads to a lot of disasters. But Solomon's particular problem is that he's hopeful. According to the professor, that leads to a lot of anxiety and worry, that he has such great hope for life that he lives every moment in fear of it ending.
Well, and you talk about your previous book, your memoir, Foreskin's Lament. We spoke to you about it in 2007. It was your tale of being raised as an Orthodox Jew in rural New York, pretty much the same place where the new novel is set. You were very bitter about this very fundamentalist way that you were raised. You said it was cruel. It was cruel to teach kids, for instance, that when you sin, God floods the world. And in fact, at that point, you had completely left your family. Are you in touch with your family now?
No.
Because why? What
well, the Anne Frank book isn't going to help.
Well, that's no. They're not going to be wanting to talk to you now. But what? Explain further that, you know, that real anger you were expressing about having been raised that way.
Well, I still feel that. And it is still cruel to frighten children. To me, this hope comes out of that because, in a way, that was dealing with the question of how do I live in a world with a crazy, brutal God? This is how do I live on a planet with crazy, brutal human beings?
Well, and Kugel, it strikes us, Solomon Kugel, the main character who lives with his wife and small, you know, child, 3-year-old in this big old house in upstate, he strikes us, he might be Shalom Auslander's idea of what someone might be like if they were raised in an Orthodox home. He's filled with fear. We mentioned his mother, who has these delusions that she was in the Holocaust, even though she grew up she had a very happy childhood in the suburbs of New York. But she presents him at a young age with a lampshade and says, "This is your grandfather."
Right.
Of course, the lampshade says made in Taiwan.
Right. And he points that out and she gets very upset.
You know, you're making jokes about lampshades.
Right. Well, I'm allowed to make jokes. I'm a Jew, but you can't laugh at them. Because, and you're laughing now, so you're obviously an anti-Semite.
This is the position you put the reader in. This is the position you put the reader in. Because he finds Anne Frank. I mean, Anne Frank. Is there more of an emblem of the Jewish suffering, as he says? She was Miss Holocaust 1945. Again, I can't believe I'm laughing. He can't kick her out. He's Jewish. The equivalent for the reader is, you can't laugh at this. This would be insensitive. Then when he kowtows to her, because she is, after all, Anne Frank, even though she's a pain in the neck, the equivalent for the reader is, you're afraid to laugh. Then you have a false sense of moral outrage at what you're reading, and then you get angry.
Right. And also, her demands are so outrageous that you start to say, hey, you know what, throw her out. The interesting thing for me was in figuring out her history and how it might have all come to be. The people that Solomon bought the house from were German-Americans. And he comes to realize after asking and finding this out that they knew about her and they had kept her there for the last 40 years. And the old man says, look, I'm sorry I lied to you.
Anne Frank was in the attic.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you sold me a house with Anne Frank in it. And he said, look, you know, the realtor told me you were a Jew. I thought that was perfect. You know, if anyone can throw her out, you could. And he's like, how could a Jew throw Anne Frank out of the attic? And he says, oh, how can a German throw Anne Frank? That's even worse. 6,000,001 is what he imagines the headline in the local paper to be. So for me, it was always about, it's really not about the Holocaust or her. She just represents the worst of mankind's ability to be cruel to one another. And what do we do with that? The main issue is, what does he tell Jonah? What does he tell his son? And for me, that was the interesting part of the character. First of all, watching someone whose hope keeps tripping him up and who's unable to just finally say, you know what, the world is kind of sucky. Maybe I should just accept that. But then there's this bigger element of, what do I tell my kids?
Which brings us back to your own life, because you told us, you know, when you were writing your memoir, you said, I am not going to raise my child this way. And that was your split with your family. So Jonah sort of maybe becomes what you wished had been done for you, someone protecting you from some of this.
Jonah is also an interesting character, I mean, biblically. He's the one that they threw off the boat to save themselves. So there's this notion of, is he going to do that again?
Yeah.
Is he going to throw Jonah over, or is he going to try and save the boat? And I think that's the question he has to ask himself.
We're speaking with Shalom Auslander, whose new novel, Hope, a Tragedy, gives us Solomon Kugel, Jewish, just moved to rural New York, living his dream to live a peaceful life with his wife, Bree, and their son, Jonah. But their home is crammed with unwelcome tenants, including a foul-mouthed ancient Anne Frank, who somehow managed to survive the Holocaust and is living in the attic, and a mother who insists that she survived the Holocaust as well, even though she was born and raised in the suburbs. It's brutally funny. But Shalom Auslander, I can just hear the winces as well. You were raised in an ultra-Orthodox family. You write about that in your memoir, Foreskin's Lament. And I can hear people saying, you know, wait a minute, you're lampooning, or maybe there's even a harsher word for it. People who, well, your characters identify with victimhood. They are Jewish. In other hands, this might feel anti-Semitic. And also, listeners might feel they do know someone who identifies with the Holocaust, whether or not they went through it. And also that, you know, since you are Jewish, that feels like self-hatred. So what are you saying about Jews who never forget? Do you have sympathy with Jews who feel they have to keep identifying with the Holocaust?
Well, there's nothing in the book or in this story that's even remotely belittling or lampooning any of that.
Well, I'm thinking of the mother.
But the mother is, first of all, a mother. She's not a stand-in for anything. Her husband disappeared, left her, and instead of seeing it for what it was, she starts to identify with a horrifying historical event that she wasn't a part of. To me, the book isn't about Jews, or it isn't, and like I said before, I don't think it's about the Holocaust. It's about, what do we do with this? This happened. First of all, you know, if the Holocaust didn't happen or isn't horrifying, I don't have a book. It kind of has to be, because that's what keeps her in the attic. That's what makes him worried about the future. That's what makes Mother the way she is. And so what I think it's doing is saying, now what? I probably should never forget, but does that mean I should constantly remember? How do you go on when you can't go on? It's the question that bothered Beckett, and that's what I was struggling with. What do I do now? What do I tell my son about his future? Do I say, it's going to end up in an oven? That's what I was told. Do I say, they hate you personally because you're a Jew? That's also what I was told. I don't think so. I think probably what I would tell them is, you know what? They hate you because they hate. That's not, don't take it personally. I'm not going to lie to them and say everything's going to be peachy. But that's the issue that the book is dealing with, yeah. The weight of knowledge.
Does the question of whether or not to kick Anne Frank out of the attic, and we're not giving away any endings here, and you can't guess it, but does that become a metaphor for unyoke yourself from that baggage and knotting of your history?
I think so. It wasn't intentional. I've had people say it's a metaphor for Israel. I've had people say it's a metaphor for the West, for Iraq and Afghanistan. It could be anything, but that's exactly the point. It is anything. It's everything. It's what do you do with the past? Do you live underneath it, to be very literal? Do you live with it? Because if you do, it's going to affect a certain way you are. Do you throw it out entirely? Well, you can't do that either. What are your options? There are no good options. To me, everybody in the book has a good point. Anne's right for feeling like, I'm not going out there. After what she saw, I'd stay in the attic the rest of my life, too. Half of me wants to go in an attic right now, and I'm just an NPR. And, you know, mother's issue when Kugel reprimands her for frightening his son, her answer is, well, somebody has to. Her idea is that fear and worry will ultimately protect us. Is that valid? Possibly. If I had to find somebody I'm closest to in the book, I'm kind of close to all of them. I admire Bree, his wife, who says to him at one point early on, and she's a victim of sexual abuse in her own past, and he can't let go of it when they first meet. He constantly wants to talk about it. It's all he wants to talk about. And she gets angry because she realizes he's starting to see her as a victim. And she says to him, I suffered, I'm not a sufferer. And he couldn't understand that.
How could he? He grew up with the mother.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I'd strive for. You're going to suffer, but that doesn't have to make you a sufferer.
You know, you talk about identifying with everyone. I just want to hear a little bit more about the German character. You did a lot of research. You have a good sense of Jews post the Holocaust, but yeah. You researched Germans.
I liked the idea that he bought the house from a German-American who was hiding Anne Frank out of a sense of guilt. And finding out all this stuff about that I didn't know because I was only taught one version of the story. It was interesting to me that to hear this guy's side of the story as he told it, which was coming from parents who did the same exact thing as was done to me or as was done with Kugel as well, which was showing him, forcing him to watch newsreel footage of Dachau and Buchenwald because...
This was done to you?
Well, as a kid, I watched this at 7, 8 years old.
Yeah.
And the idea that a German family would do that out of shame, not out of anger, and basically telling them, you should know what your people did. You should know what you're capable of, was very moving to me, just that the notion that everybody gets cut by this one way or the other. Everyone suffers from this.
Well, what have you heard from people for whom that's blasphemy, to equate what happened to a German child after World War II, forced to watch Holocaust films, and what happened to Jewish children?
It's not an equation, because that's what ends up happening as we get into equivalency and, well, who suffered more? And he accuses his mother of constantly living in the misery Olympics and always wanting to have the gold for suffering. And that's a foolish thing to do. To me, it deepens the tragedy to know that the ripples from this thing affect everybody. Owning it and saying only we can talk about it is lunacy, I think. Now, I should also say that I don't sit around and do this, you know, math. I had a funny idea to me, and it made me laugh. I laugh at the darkness, and that's the way I kind of deal with it. It isn't minimizing it. It's saying we should look at this again.
How did you come up with an idea? I get it. Anne Frank has actually survived, right. And she's still an addict.
So. Well, again, like it started with the guy who, for whom hope was a problem. He was too hopeful. And I didn't spend, you know, 4 years writing this book. There were two other terrible books before it. The only thing of which I liked in those stories was the first page, which was a guy goes upstairs, hears something in the attic, and it's his mother. And it's, whereas anyone else would be surprised because of this family and the way she is, she tends to just show up and hide in his attic every now and then because she's convinced another Holocaust is coming. And I got another few hundred pages into that story just based on that page when I just kind of realized I was dancing around this thing the whole time, and I just went, you know what? I remember calling my wife actually in the middle of the day and going, you know what? It's Anne Frank. It just is. There's no way around this.
And your wife said, well, and the in-laws are definitely not coming.
Well, she said what she said all throughout Foreskin's Lament, which is they really did a number on you.
Do you believe in God now?
I believe in doubt. There's a part of me maybe that wants to believe in that, and then there's a part of me that's afraid to stop. If anything, I've gotten to a comfortable place of thinking it doesn't really matter.
Well, you know, the other thing that's true, whether or not you believe isn't going to change whether or not he's there.
Right. Great. I don't care about him, and he doesn't care about me. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, you don't know about that second part. Shalom Auslander, his new novel is Hope, a Tragedy. Always such a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks again.